Now, what does this require? It requires, in order to get to that point, I guess I wouldn't say requires, but certainly what's implied in what we're saying here is a willingness to experiment. We're back on page 1-3. A willingness to experiment. Now that's an interesting thought, because I got to tell you guys this. Can I tell you a story? When I was taking my master practitioner training, I got together with some men and women. Well, I took my master practitioner training in Hawaii. And we got together, we decided to experiment. Now, I'm sort of the mad scientist, I have to admit. So we decided, okay, we're going to put together the most incredible experimentation group you'd ever think of. And so we all got together at my house. And the first week, I don't remember what we did. We played around with anchoring or something else, and we did just kind of weird anchoring. But the second week, and so everybody came back for the second meeting. Then the second week, I thought, you know what, if there are past lives in that exist, then I ought to be able to float above my timeline and go back into the past and find past lives. I mean, if past lives really exist. I don't know if they exist or not, but I thought, well, you know, what if it's, you know, in my timeline? What would happen? So my buddy Mark, and I remember Mark very well. Mark, by the way, I'll talk a lot about Mark. Mark was my crazy buddy. Mark was my crazy buddy. And Mark always loved to experiment. So Mark did timeline therapy with me. So he said, go ahead and float above your timeline. I said, okay. He said, go back toward the past, to the beginning of this lifetime. And I said, yeah, I'm there. And he said, look out toward the past and see if you see any other timelines. And I went, and all of a sudden, I said, whoa, look at that. And a whole bunch of timelines opened up going out away from me like this into the past. And they actually went around like this. They curved. And then they went down like this, around in sort of a spiral. Then they dropped down the center of the spiral and around the outside. And I had this entire clear vision of the entire thing all at once. Now, I'm floating above my timeline, and I'm describing this to the folks. And by the way, we called it the Heavy Shit Group. And what we said was, we're going to get together, and we're going to do some shit. But we're not going to do any bogus, lightweight NLP. We're going to do only heavy shit. So here I am. I'm floating above my timeline. I've gone back in the past. Now Mark's saying, well, go further back. Now go all the way around. Now drop down through that vortex. So I dropped down through the vortex and then around the outside like that. And over here, there was a timeline that was significantly shorter than the others. And so I thought, cool. Let's find out what happened. So I floated down into that timeline, and I went right into my body at the time, and I had a weird experience. It was another lifetime. I had a totally different body. It was significantly taller and significantly thinner, and my skin was significantly more tanned. I thought it was from the weather. And I'm there, and I can all of a sudden feel that I was a wizard. Not just any kind of a wizard. But a destructive wizard. And I used to actually be able to take my hands like this and pull the energy up from the earth and shoot fireballs at people, like with my hands cupped in a certain way. So here I am, I'm on the porch of my house, and my eyes are rolled up in my head like this. So all you can see is the whites. And I'm going like this. And through the bottom of my eyeball, as I'm looking, seeing the whites, I see, as my hands go back and forth, I see people ducking. And they're ducking. They're going, ow, no. I had a really, really, I had a really, really clear past life experience of being a wizard. And I could actually feel, as the energy came up from the earth, I could feel it come up through my legs, into my body, and out my hands as I would project those fireballs. What a great experience.
So your willingness to experiment is part of the attitude that forms the concept of NLP.
your willingness to experiment, to play around. I was very lucky. I had The Secret of Creating Your Future, and it was a great forum for me to be able to experiment with thousands of people over the years, because I've changed that seminar around several times, just being able to experiment and see what would happen if we did this, just being able to see what would happen if we did that. So a willingness to experiment is an extremely powerful, powerful process.
Now the methodology, we're back on page 103. Part of the methodology we have modeling.
What is the methodology of NLP? It's modeling.
Modeling.
Modeling says, if there's anything you can do, then I can discover how to do that behavior. By the way, we'll teach you how to do that here.
Elicit the strategies, values, metaprograms.
I can discover how you do it, and I can install it in myself, and I can produce the same behavior. That's what modeling says. And I can do it in less time than it took you to learn the behavior in the first place. Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Very useful.
So modeling is an extremely powerful set of procedures. And what's the key? What's the key? What's the key? So here I was. I remember it clearly. I was in New York City. And in those days, I was probably in 1987 or 88. And in those days, I would say I was younger. Well, which is true. And a lot more stupid than I am now. Because I said something I shouldn't have said. See, I'm sitting across, and the guy across from me is Richard Bandler. And I said, Richard, what if? What if all of NLP was just keeping the conscious mind busy while you slip suggestions into the unconscious mind, and that's what creates the change? And I didn't notice it. I kept on talking about it. But out of the corner of my eye, as I think back on it, the color started to rise up from his neck. And it was beet red. And by the time the color had gone just below his eyeballs, he took his fist and he slammed it on the bar and yelled, "No!" And I went, huh. That looks like a significant loss of rapport to me. I said to myself, perhaps I better match and mirror him for a while.
Maybe.
To reestablish rapport, because I think I pissed him off a little bit. I said, hey, you know, what do you think? And he didn't like it. So we were silent as he sipped on his tequila. Licked the salt off the rim. And I sat there. My internal dialogue was going nuts. It's like, oh man, I definitely
You know, the chatterbox.
Screwed up on this one. But matching and mirroring him all the while. And finally, after about 5 minutes, he looks over at me and he says, just denominalize the word suggestion. And then I got it. I got it. And what I got was that all of modeling is the process of denominalization. Taking a concept that exists among human beings and turning it back into a process. In denominalization, what you do is you take a concept and make it into a process. Well, actually, in truth, all of NLP was created from concepts that are now, in NLP, processes or techniques. For example, rapport. In hypnosis, before NLP, rapport was defined as that magical state where the client would only hear the hypnotist, see the hypnotist, and follow the instructions. And the truth is that there was no way in pre-NLP literature to establish rapport. In fact, Erickson, without telling how to do it, said in one of his articles, anything's possible with a good rapport. But you go back and look at any hypnosis before the mid-70s, and you won't find a single article on how to establish rapport. The genius of NLP, nothing in NLP is new. But the genius of NLP is taking that issue of rapport and turning it back into a process. And what's the process? Well, the process is you match physiology, you match breathing, you match tonality, you match pitch, you match tempo, you match volume, you match keywords.
Predicates.
You match predicates. You match everything you can get your hands on to match, and that that's what establishes rapport. Now, that's genius. Not the concept, because the concept's been around for a long time, but the process. So NLP is an attitude and a methodology, and the methodology is denominalization, which turns pre-existing concepts back into processes. And then the rest of it is continual experimentation. Because you have to experiment. You have to experiment. And what that does is it leaves a trail of techniques. The trail of techniques are the techniques that are taught as NLP. Now, in truth, NLP was taught first at the practitioner level and second at the master practitioner level. It wasn't like they organized it on purpose as practitioner and master practitioner. It was that they first taught a practitioner training and then they decided to add on more material, so they called it the master practitioner training. That's really how NLP came about. And that's the trail of techniques. That's the trail of technique. So the trail of techniques are what's normally taught as NLP. We'll be learning that. But the key is for you to learn how to model and replicate excellence and replicate behavior. Yeah? And that's what NLP is really. What is NLP really? What it is a series of techniques for replicating excellence and a procedure for creating those techniques.